Welcome back to another episode of Dimes of Crime. This is your host, Haley.
And I'm Richa.
Yeah, so I am drinking a Sauve Blanc from, I'm not going to even remember his name now. Joel Gott. Yeah, that's the thing.
Oh, Joel Gott. I like those wines. For the next foreseeable future, I will be drinking water because it's really late.
Yes. Time change is coming soon.
Yeah, I am excited about that. Haley and I get to be an hour closer to each other in time zone, which makes recording episodes easier. So yeah, it'll be much nicer for sure.
Definitely. Well, today we are going to be traveling to Indonesia.
It's Haley and I's favorite place.
Yes, it really is. And Bali, to be exact. So,
It is really our favorite place.
It really, really is our favorite place. I've been.
Was that your first trip with Connor?
Yes.
To Bali? And you stopped over in Sydney on the way there, right?
Yeah.
On the way back.
On the way there and South Korea on the way back.
Oh, nice. Yeah, because you guys gave us pointers on the 12-hour layover and what tour to do.
Right. And this is, and I think Bali might actually be the last country we visited together, too.
Oh, that's right. Right before our wedding, right? So yeah. You went, you went to Bali and then you went to Alaska and then met Connor in San Diego.
Yep. Anyways, Bali is dear to my heart and so is it to Rich's heart.
It is. Connor and Haley have a lot to do with our trip to Bali. They gave us a lot of tips, so we had a great time.
Yeah. Okay. Disclaimers apply. You know.
Ooh, since this is kind of like a digital diary, I just want to like put it out there in the future. We're going to manifest this. Someday in the future, we should take our kids to Bali with us.
Well, we are for sure going to do it.
Yeah. I've been
thinking about it.
I know. I've been thinking about it forever. I really wanted to do this big siblings trip, like my siblings, Drew's siblings, potentially your siblings, if you want to bring them. And I realized that Rashi and Noam can't go.
Oh, they can't?
They can't go. No, because Noam's was born in Israel. So he literally can't enter a Muslim country.
Oh, that's so lame.
Yeah, sucks. Maybe we can do like the cook side clan at some point.
Yeah.
We'll have to plan a different fun trip with the
That's
the
messed
siblings.
Up.
Yeah.
Get it together. Okay. Well, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get over that, but.
Yeah, this is the biggest news that I've dropped on Haley all day. So we talk about true crime all
It's time. Like, I don't want to get super political on it. I just don't like that at all. But however, with that being said, what was I going to say? Bali's amazing. Definitely want to go. We've been planning. I think we're going to do like Costa Rica or Peru with crew next since we have these Florida tickets that we have to use.
But, oh, yeah. Oh, for all of you who were listening last week, Haley was supposed to go on this great vacation, which I was really excited about. She's not going anytime soon, so I can say it now. She was going to go to Florida, and I was really excited for her to try Publix or go to Publix, and that's not going to happen now.
Not yet. It will happen someday. Okay, yeah, so disclaimers apply. Everything true crime, just leave it at that, and we'll get into the story. Connor is cooking steak and bacon-wrapped asparagus and a potato, and I am wanting that really bad, so that's what my mind is going to be on while I am.
Oh, my God. That's all I'm going to think about for the rest of the episode is Connor. Connor made a surf and turf dinner for my birthday the last year we were in Hawaii for my birthday. And I still have not stopped thinking about that dinner. And I'm pretty sure he made a baked potato and he made that crab that you guys had from Alaska and steak. And I am drooling now. So thanks for that, Haley. It's like 10, 11.
Rich is a big foodie.
Anyways, okay. Foodie. So, yeah, going into the story.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's Saturday, August 12th, 2014. It began like any other day on Indonesia's Bali Island. Guests from all over the world at exclusive St. Regis Bali Resort in Nusa Dua were enjoying the luxury services. including fine dining, a full spa, a 24-hour butler service, a swimmable saltwater lagoon, and a private beach. Rooms at St. Regis can cost anything between $500 and $8,000 U.S. dollars a night.
You are spending that much going to Bali? That's a crime. That
has to be a crime. I spent $500 the first time I went to Bali
for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Like,
I was sitting there arguing. I was sitting there haggling with boat people on $6 boat rides. $8,000 a night?
Yeah. Man.
I'm jealous that I would want to be at that level of richness where I go to Bali and spend $8,000. Can you imagine what they spend when they go to Europe? Like $20,000 a night.
Right? Bora Bora, where it's like you want to go stay on the water.
Yeah. It's like anyways, 12, okay. 24. So clearly this is a very, very uber rich people. Okay.
Yes. Making the resort one of the most expensive ones on the island. Travelers who stay at St. Regis can expect to get the best possible service and one of the most luxurious experiences in Bali. And I'm just going to say, like, the people of Bali or Indonesia are some of the nicest people you could possibly meet. And everything feels luxurious there. You know what I mean? No matter where you're staying, it feels luxurious.
It's true. Drew and I stayed in a 2-bedroom villa with our own pool for $50 a night. It was
boring. Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, because of its popularity, taxis are a normal sight in front of the resort at any hour during the day. August 12th was no different. One particular taxi cab driver, Ikatut Rajana, was flagged down that Saturday by a young couple. Now, my driver was named Katut, and Katut, so the way they name children in Indonesia is by the order you're born. So, and also by the gender. So Katut is the fourth child, and all fourth childs.
Fourth.
I'm not gonna say child. All fourth male children are named Katut. So I'm not gonna say like that's everybody in Indonesia, but a lot of them, they all have similar names. So if you go to Bali, you'll meet 1,000 Katuts.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I knew they were named by the order, but I kind of thought Katut was the first board, and I had to Google it, and it's the fourth. So after placing their suitcase in the truck and a couple of other bags in the back seat of the Katut's cab, the couple told Rajan they needed to go back inside for a moment, assuming they still had to check out of the resort to pick up some more luggage. Rajana happily waited, thinking the two would be back within minutes. However, he soon realized that was not going to happen. The time kept passing, first 15 minutes, then half an hour, and an hour. Finally, when nearly 2 hours had passed since the couple left, Rajana thought, enough. He walked to the reception and talked with a couple of employees, learning the room number of the couple. But when Rajana and the resort employees went to check on them, the room was empty. The couple had disappeared. Having no other options, Rajana returned to his car, increasingly frustrated with the situation. Apparently, security guards of the resort took a closer look at the suitcases inside the trunk at this point and noticed something strange. The suitcase was full of red strands that appeared to be blood. Considering the owners of the bag had mysteriously vanished, security guards suggested that Rajana take it straight to the police station. The driver agreed. He definitely didn't want to find out what was inside the bag himself.
Wow.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sense, common sense coming from people in the third world.
Yeah, right?
Guess what? Like, when I watched...
Touch the bag, bring it in to... police station. Not open it.
See creepy things coming out of it? Don't open it. Like, when I watched Don't Fuck with the Cats documentary, a trash guy finds, like, disembodied parts in a trash bag, like, in a suitcase, and he opens it. I would never do that.
Yeah.
Something that stinks like a dead body and has blood all around it, I will not touch it with a 10-foot pole.
Don't eat the sandwich from Jeffrey Dahmer.
God, I watched that show. It is so disturbing. You are not kidding when you
I don't know how you're doing that right now, but I cannot watch that.
Did you not? Oh, you didn't finish it?
No, I got one episode in. I was like, this is too dark. I don't know. I like
how
true crime
and
everything.
How do you know the sandwich one then? That's so much farther
in. Because of Instagram reels where she's like,
I really want you to eat the sandwich.
Yeah, it's just like, what is it? She's like, I ain't gonna freaking eat a sandwich from my next door neighbors. It smells like a dead raccoon's ass or something like that.
Yep. Like, yep. No, that show is freaky. I don't know the name of the actor who plays Jeffrey Dahmer, but he has done a phenomenal job. That being said, I did read articles that like miniseries is under fire because the victims' families are like enraged at reliving the horror they had to go through with that documentary.
Right.
So I do feel bad about that.
That is the problem no matter what, though. I mean, anytime you do true crime in any kind of situation, no matter who you're telling it, us alike, we are telling stories of people's trauma. So with that being said, it is history, you know? Like, we don't stop talking about history because it happened and because people are hurt. And not saying that I don't feel remorse for them, because I do. I just understand both sides of that.
Well, you don't feel remorse because you're not guilty, but you empathize with their trauma.
Right. I definitely empathize with their trauma, and I'd probably be upset too, you know? And there's, like, situations where Hulu has taken documentaries and didn't get permission from the family that tells stories of true crime. And,
oh, that's,
you know, we're not going through and asking everybody for their permission to tell their stories either, you know? So that's a hard one. That's definitely a hard one.
Yeah, but like, the nation's not listening to us. People around the globe not yet are listening.
But we want the nation to listen.
We want you guys to. And when you do, maybe we'll be big enough to have the resources to reach out to these families. Like right now, right. I think genuinely Haley and I would love to research all these stories and have someone that makes painstaking efforts to reach out to all the families, clear the stories. But it's like, honestly, we just don't make enough money doing this. And so for that, we sincerely apologize to the families who are listening to our stories. If we say something offensive, that's truly not our intent. We really try to
like, you know, make sure that the victims are at the light of our conversations and that we're not glamorizing or anything any of the people who are committing these crimes. Like, we think one, they're
truly criminals.
Stupid.
We think criminals are dumb. I want them to be dumb, but you know,
yes,
I truly think that they're dumb.
For sure.
But that being said, yeah, like, I did read, I watched the entire thing in probably like 2 days, the Jeffrey Dahmer one. And yeah. I was like, oh my God. But I've also seen like other real docuseries of them interviewing the one guy who escaped him and Glenda in real life. So this one is dark. Forewarning, yeah. This is very dark.
I think I was still planning on watching it. I just don't know how I'm going to get through it. All right. Wine. Lots of wine. When the suitcase was then opened by the officers at the station, they made a gruesome discovery. The half-naked and badly beaten body of an adult female had been stuffed inside the bag. The victim was quickly identified as an American tourist, 62-year-old Sheila Von Wiesmack. Sheila had traveled to Bali from Chicago, where she had lived in the affluent suburb of Oak Park for many years together with her highly regarded jazz and classical composer husband, James L. Mack. By the time Sheila's body was found inside the suitcase, James himself had been dead for over a decade. Back in 2001, James injured his foot on a Royal Caribbean Mediterranean cruise. Due to an inadequate medical treatment, the injury resulted in partial paralysis and a lawsuit against Royal Caribbean.
Wait, which? Sorry. So she's not there with her husband because she's a widow.
Yeah.
But you said it was a couple that was missing. So who is she there with? Or have we not gotten to that part of the story?
We haven't gotten to that point, oh, okay. But we will. Which continued for years. So the lawsuit against Royal Caribbean went on and on. James himself never got to see how the suit was settled as he died from a pulmonary embolism during another vacation to Greece on August 9th, 2006. That is the day after my birthday. Two days before, yeah. At the age of 76. It took another 5 years for the parties to reach an agreement. Sheila was awarded just over $340,000 and $500,000 went to the estate of James Mack.
Wow.
Those who knew Sheila, what's that?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, almost $1 million.
Wait, is that why she went on this uber rich nice trip?
Yeah, probably, but it seems like he was well known, so they probably had money.
Oh, I guess
prior
he's a famous composer.
Too.
Never mind.
Yeah. Those, and plus he was going on what? He went to Greece, and then the when he got hurt, he was in a, on a cruise, so it seems like, you know, they traveled a lot and stuff.
Yeah.
Those who knew Sheila described her as a cultured lady and just a lovely person. She had amassed degrees in business and social work. She was a member of a century-old Chicago book club called the Caxton Club and had interests such as Asian literature and Wagneria opera, which I don't know if I was saying that right, but yeah. In 2008, after James' death, Sheila moved from Oak Park to downtown Chicago condo to be closer to the active art scenes. Many of Sheila's friends had hoped that the move starting fresh would do good for her. And for some years, it did, until Sheila ended up beaten to death inside a suitcase on the island of Bali, and nobody couldn't understand why.
It's weird. This is the second time that we're doing a story back to back where there's like woman over 60 involved, but in this case she's the victim, and last one she was the alleged.
Yeah, right, criminal. Alleged. That's a hard one. You're supposed to be innocent, proven guilty, but
I said alleged. For anyone right out there listening and taking notes, I said alleged.
I think you're guilty till proven innocent, but let's just whatever. Okay. The autopsy concluded that Sheila had been hit by a blunt object with blows to the face and head. The defensive injuries on Sheila's arms and hands, including bruises and broken fingers, indicated there had been a struggle. Needless to say, the first people the police wanted to talk with were the couple who had left the suitcase with the poor taxi driver. When the officers went to St. Regis to speak with the employees, they learned something shocking. Sheila had not come to Bali alone. Instead,
she came with a woman.
Instead, she had booked a room for 10 nights together with her 18-year-old daughter, Heather. The surprises didn't end there. The investigators were also told that Sheila and Heather had been seen together with a third person, a young man. This person, however, wasn't registered in the same room with the Max, but in a separate one, which was booked later with Sheila's credit card.
Oh, I don't like where this is going. It has to be the daughter, because we're doing times of crime and this young right man. Oh, no. My heart just dropped.
As a plot thickening and Heather or the young man were nowhere to be found, the police decided to track her cell phone and check her bank account records, in addition to purchases made with Sheila's credit card. Immediately, the investigators noticed something interesting. Sheila's credit card had been used to book a separate business class flight to Bali for a person named Tommy Schaefer.
Why does that name sound familiar? Anyways.
I don't know. I feel like Schaefer is
yeah
common last name, but and so is Tommy. Heather's 21-year-old unemployed rapper boyfriend. Where Heather and Tommy, the young couple who left the suitcase with Regina, less than 48 hours after discovery of Sheila's body, the Bali police managed to track down Heather and Tommy at a nearby budget hotel about a mile away from St. Regis.
Heather's daughter, right? Heather is Sheila's daughter?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Thanks to the hotel staff, the employees had felt suspicious of the couple straight away when they checked in without luggage and later informed the police of their whereabouts, realizing Heather and Tommy likely were the two people on the news. The couple were taken into custody and immediately questioned. Both Heather and Tommy denied having anything to do with Sheila's murder, but they amazingly claimed to know who killed her. Oh.
I have no thoughts yet. I'm so intrigued. I just want to listen to the rest of the story.
According to Heather and Tommy's story, a group of robbers had attacked them, which I don't know why we always say robbers attacked them. Killed
oh
Sheila.
We're going with the mugged story again.
I know, right? Very similar to your yoga pants story. And stuffed her body inside the suitcase. Miraculously, the couple managed to escape unharmed and explained they left St. Regis without speaking to the police because they were too scared, thinking the gang would come after them too. Which, this is Bali. Like, man, there's no scary people in Bali, really. I mean, there probably
is. Did she move their car for them and then come back?
Right?
To get sexually assaulted, too.
Yeah, right. Well, it's not unheard of something like this to happen. The investigators doubted Heather and Tommy's version of the events. They had already learned that in the early hours of August 12th. Also, like, are you really... A gang of people are going into St. Regis, a hotel that's probably guarded by security.
And their first point of attack is the 60-year-old mom.
And we're going to kill the mom. It's stuff her in a suitcase. We're going to leave the two kids alone, and we're going to get out of there and leave the suitcase with them. Like, really? Okay. Whatever floats your boat. Now I lost my spot boat. They had already learned in the early hours of August 12th, the day Sheila was killed, she and Heather had argued in St. Regis's lobby. The police had both CCTV footage of the argument and witness testimonies from people who saw Heather and Tommy placing the suitcase into the trunk of the taxi. So while the investigators didn't know what Sheila and Heather had been arguing about, they had enough to formally designate the couple as prisoners in connection with the murder on August 15th, 2014. Under Indonesian law, this meant Heather and Tommy were now under arrest and the prosecution would decide whether or not to press charges.
Dang, that would be scary for multiple levels. Like, A, if she really didn't do it, she just lost her mom and is arrested in a foreign country that has very strict laws.
Right.
And yeah, very if she really did do it, then she's fucked.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Bali, if you smoke, you know what, is punishable by you know what.
I don't know. But I mean, I know you're talking about weed, but I don't know what the second part was.
I think it's punishable by death.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No way. That harsh? Okay.
Yeah. I believe so. But maybe
I don't know why I thought. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. Because it's going to sound so dumb now. But okay.
So they're in jail and now in Indonesia. In the following days, the police learned Sheila and Heather didn't exactly have the warmest mother-daughter relationship. In fact, during the time the family had been living in Oak Park, the police were called to the Mack home 86 times. Yes, the police were called 86 times between 2004 and 2013. Yeah, that's really a lot.
That's 9 years. That's still a lot in 9 years. I mean, I haven't, in my entire 33 years of life, I haven't called the police. Well, I haven't called the police to my house one time. Nor have anyone called them on me. I did call 911 one time because there was a water leak in our building. And that's a very dumb story I'll get into later. But that's crazy. 86 yes. times.
That's like 9 times a year.
That's also like half her age. Like, right. She's 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
All the reports were about theft or domestic violence, Heather being the one harming her mother.
Oh.
One report from 2010 states Heather punched Sheila's broken ankle in 2011. She broke her mother's.
How do you punch a broken ankle? You actually have to like bend down to punch someone's ankle. Like why didn't Sheila just kick her with the other yeah. ankle? I'm sorry. No idea. That just sounds like it's just like ridiculous stuff that comes up into my brain. Like punch someone's ankle. That's just weird.
Yeah, maybe her mom was laying down and she just like came up and punched it. I don't know. In 2011, she broke her mother's arm. And in 2012, she bit Sheila hard enough to leave a bruise.
Why was this woman going on vacation with her abusive daughter?
Yeah, it's still your daughter. I mean, I get abused just like to this level every day by my child, so.
I guess, but still, I would take like reinforcements like my husband with me maybe or like a boyfriend. Or a friend who can witness all these things and call for help. Yeah. That'd be crazy. Anyways, okay.
Pretty sure Crew's been close to breaking my nose, but he's 2 and not 18, so.
Yeah, he also is not doing it intentionally. Everything is about.
Oh, he's feelings. Definitely doing it intentionally.
It looks like I do not give that
He woke up from his bed literally swinging fists at me. I'm like, what the frick? Oh my gosh. On more than one occasion, Heather stole money from her mother, as much as $1,000 at one go. And obviously, I'm pretty sure she booked her boyfriend a flight and booked him a room and business class flight without her mom knowing. But that's just assumption. Sheila and Heather's problems only intensified when Heather met Tommy Schaefer as a as a student at Oak Park High School. Sheila didn't approve of the relationship and did all she could to stop Heather and Tommy from seeing each other. But even selling the family home and moving to Gold Coast didn't do the trick. During their relationship, Heather reportedly fell pregnant twice and had an abortion both times.
Oh, shit.
With her mother giving her no other option. In fact, when the mother and daughter traveled to Bali, Heather was once again pregnant and trying to find a way to tell her mother the news.
This sounds like a very tumultuous relationship. Again, I repeat, why would you go on vacation, just the two of you, when this is such a volatile relationship? It just sounds
also weird. At this point, like, okay, maybe you were younger and your mom, like, insisted that you get an abortion. But now you're 18 years old. So, I mean, if you wanted, if it's a fear that you're not going to be able to keep your child, like, you're 18.
Well, it's probably about the inheritance, right? If she cuts them off. That's usually what it's about. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it's true. On August 20th, the Indonesian police confirmed Heather's pregnancy after suspecting she was only lying in the hopes of being sent back to the U.S. A month later, on September 19th, Heather Mack and Tommy Schaefer apparently realized there was no way out of the situation and finally changed their story, admitting to the murder of Sheila Vaughn Weiss Mack.
Wow, that flipped fast, a month.
Yeah. I guess that's not too... I mean, yeah. I mean, I could probably only handle a month at Indonesian jail. Probably only, like, 2 days.
For starters, since we've gotten into this hypothetical situation, A, if, big if you do something like this, you would be smarter than shoving a body into a bag, giving it to the driver that was supposed to take her to the airport or wherever she was going, and then disappearing into a budget motel in Bali, showing up with no luggage. I'm just saying. Like, I think we would be smarter than that.
Yeah, definitely. I would fucking probably take the suitcase, put it in the taxi, and have you drop me off in the middle of fucking Bali somewhere.
I would throw it in the ocean.
And leave it either in the middle of Bali, because there's so many freaking people, or put it in the ocean, yeah. But you still have to take a suitcase on the boat.
Literally, like, I've taken literally boats into the middle boat. Of the ocean for $6 for the whole day.
Yeah. But then what are they going to do when they see you dumping a suitcase in the ocean? They probably wouldn't even. I don't know.
Just
hypothetical.
Hand them $1,000 right there. It's worth my innocence.
Can you just look over there while I drop
the suitcase? Guys, all of this is just such a giant joke. I'm not saying that we've planned this out. I'm just saying we would be smarter. But that being said, I appreciate very much that criminals are dumb on a daily.
Yeah.
For instance,
and please don't
Jeffrey
listen.
Dahmer.
Yeah. And don't listen to what we're saying.
Yeah.
All right. Well, do listen, but just don't do what we're saying. According to the couple, Sheila had grown angry after learning Heather had booked a flight and a room for Tommy. The situation only got worse, so yeah. When Heather finally told her mother about the pregnancy after talking about how to do it first with her boyfriend at the beach, the argument Heather and Sheila had in the lobby was the result of the news. The following morning, the flight continued, and Heather apparently asked Tommy to come to her and her mother's room at about 8 in the morning. What really happened next, we may never know. But Heather and Tommy claimed Sheila threatened to harm the unborn baby with a knife. It was then that Tommy blunted her to death with a decorative glass fruit basket. The couple claims they had tried to resurrect and contact authorities, but in panic decided to hide the body in the suitcase. While Heather and Tommy's story sounds plausible, there was one big problem. Based on Sheila's email exchange with her friends, she already knew about her daughter's pregnancy before the trip to Bali. Heather and Tommy were charged with premeditated murder on January 14th, 2015. Under Indonesian law, a conviction could have meant the death penalty. Before the trial started, Heather once again changed her statement, insisting she was innocent and petrified about her future and that of her unborn child. In the end, the three-judge panel found Sheila's murder deliberate and premeditated and sentenced Heather Mack to 10 years in prison, while Tommy Schaefer was given an 18-year sentence in April 2015. Heather did receive some leniency because of her baby daughter, Stella.
Oh, what the heck? So she got leniency because she was pregnant?
Yeah, and she got 10, and he got 18, which I still don't think is enough time, but...
Yeah, I don't think that's enough time. I'm not saying that the little girl deserved to be born in jail, but come on, like, you have to hold her two parents accountable for taking away their her grandma's life.
And their parents are obviously not fit parents, so put Stella in the care of somebody else, maybe Thomas's family. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. She probably, yeah, never mind, tangent, but okay. Yeah. So did they ever admit to the real story? So did they plan the trip as a premeditated way to get Sheila away from everyone she knew and then murder her? Or, like, what was the plot? I'm not getting what the plot was here. Was the plan to murder her and get the inheritance, or why did they need to murder her at all?
Yeah, I'm not really exactly sure either. Maybe because, like, her mom was very much into pressuring her to get abortions prior. So maybe they were, like, planning on having their baby, like, actively trying to have a baby together. And then her mom was like, you need to have an abortion. But, I mean, at this point, she's 18 years old, so I don't know.
So it's just weird because she knew about the pregnancy, and then all of a sudden she's like, Mom, let me take you to Bali for a vacation. Like, what? It's just bizarre. And bizarre chronological order of events is all.
I kind of feel like it was premeditated, but I don't know.
Yeah.
But then a bomb was dropped on September 23rd, 2015, when Tommy's cousin, Robert Bibbs, was arrested and charged with conspiring with the couple to kill Sheila. He was sentenced to 9 years of prison on June 2nd, 2017, following a plea deal. Apparently, Robert knew Heather had offered her boyfriend $50,000 to kill her mother. One could argue she didn't deserve any kind of leniency, but the reality...
That's not even 4 nights at the St. Regis.
I know, right?
Okay, fine. Maybe it's 5 nights. $50,000?
Yeah.
It didn't even get you 5 nights in Bali.
Right. But the reality is that Heather Mack's legal battles are not over. Heather was eventually released from Indonesian prison on October 29th, 2021, at the age of 26. However, she didn't get to enjoy freedom for long, as she was arrested by the FBI as soon as she returned to the U.S. Heather, along with Tommy, was charged with conspiring to kill Sheila Von Wies Mack in a foreign country, as well as obstruction of justice. Heather pleaded not guilty in November 2021 and is currently awaiting trial, which is set for July 31st, 2023. Just then, we will know the final fate of Heather Mack.
Dang. She's going to get tried for the same thing twice?
Yep.
Boom.
The U.S.
Justice,
like,
bitches.
U.S. was like, nope, that's not enough time for you. You're going to come land here.
Wait, so where's the poor daughter? Who's taking care of the daughter?
Good question. I don't know.
Well, I hope she's okay wherever she is, and some family member, sure, or some nice foster family is taking care of her.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be hard to find out, but
yeah.
Oh yeah, is my story, and I will hope to update you when the trial is going on and what exactly happens to Heather Mack. I hope it's life in prison, but
yeah, me too.
And I think the motive was money, if she was going to pay her boyfriend $50,000, because she probably doesn't have $50,000 to herself, so she was probably just figuring she'd get her mom's estate, you know.
And the boyfriend settled for $50,000. What a chump.
Yeah, I never get how people would ever kill anybody for money. But
I'm not saying I'd get why people would kill people for money, but $50,000, someone has to do a risk to reward ratio here, okay? Like, the risk that you're taking in that moment has to be worth more than $50,000.
Yeah, but the risk is your life in prison, so how much money is worth your life?
Not $50,000, I can tell you that much.
Not millions of dollars.
It's a shitload more than $50,000.
Literally, people pay all kinds of money to save their life, not the opposite. Yeah.
People kill to save their lives. So,
yes.
Yeah. Again, a lot more than $50,000. But anyways, okay. That's it, y'all. And Haley has to get back to her really delicious dinner, which is probably done by now. So we will see you next week with a drink in hand.
Yes, or 2 weeks from now. We don't know yet.
Still yeah. Working on Sorry, that. 2 weeks. Yeah, 2 weeks. We're still holding on to our 2-week schedule.